Amen. Thank you, worship team. Are we not blessed? Amen. Amen. I love it. Charlie walking off in his flip-flops. Welcome to the bridge. Brown shoes and flip-flops. Well, I want to welcome you this morning to the bridge where we are going through a series that I have entitled Beware the Silver-Tongued Devils. We're walking through the book of 2 Peter. If you've not done that before, I want to encourage you when you study God's Word to walk through it the way He walks through it. You'll find that you strip away a lot of spinning, a lot of the things that people want to get the Bible to say. You can't do that when you walk through it the way God has laid it out. And so that's our primary practice here. And we're walking through 2 Peter. We have gone through chapter 1 up through verse 14. And thus far, we've been introduced to Simon Peter. We've been introduced to his ministry. We saw starting out that this is a man who understands that he's not perfect. He's our kind of guy. He's got a heart for the Lord, and yet at the same time, he battles in life every day. He has asked us to receive God's unmerited favor and tremendous personal relationships with him. He said, may God's grace and peace be multiplied to you. And we saw that he's informed us of something that many of us in the past weeks have been shocked to see, and that is the promise that if you are a child of God, verse 3 says, you have received everything you need for life and godliness. You, as a child of God, have received everything you need for life and for godliness. Now, I've got to ask you this morning, do you believe that? If you're here as a guest, if you're kicking the tires on Christianity, I expect you to say no. Doubt it. Not real sure. Nah, you know, hard to buy that, Pastor. But if you call yourself a Christian, don't you take that statement lightly. If you call yourself, if you believe yourself to be a biblical Christian, then one of my primary roles as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a preacher, is to inform you of the promises of God. And everybody says, amen, back that truck up here, Pastor Jeff. I like that. Pass the promises. I'll take a second dose. The other part of my job is to encourage you, to inspire you, to embrace the responsibilities that come with those blessings. This morning, as we look at verses 12, 13, 14, and 15 of chapter 1, what we see is Peter now almost taking a little bit of a rest, and he steps outside of his sharing to let us know what his heart's desire is. Peter, the man, speaks to us as a pastor. He gives us what some would call his last will and testament. As you'll see before we're done this morning, he knows he's about to die. He knows he's about to exit. And he says in the midst of 2 Peter, in the midst of this letter, he's just getting started. And you're going to see what he says today is, hang on, we've been through the first 11 verses, time out, let's review. And oh, by the way, while we review, let me just tell you what is on my heart. Let me tell you about who I am as a called out, sent one for Christ. And if you'll indulge me this morning in the spirit of God's word, because we will track with him, we will take his word and we will unpack it together. I'm going to do my best to personalize this a little bit. I'm going to share Peter's perspective from my perspective. I'm going to share what he speaks to the early church, to our church. I want to walk with you through this passage, and then I want to unpack it in a way that I pray will make sense when we're done. And I want to encourage you to bear with me, and I want to ask you to press in to the media that I'm going to share with you. I'm going to ask you to read carefully the words, think deeply about the principles, act personally upon the truth that is shared. Let me read to you this passage, and then we will unpack it in a bridge way that I pray will bless you for the rest of your lives. God's word says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth. which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I'm going to save verse 15 for the end. I've intentionally broken out that passage in those phrases and statements because I want to share with you now what I believe Peter was sharing with the people in the church of his day and with us as well. I want to first take a look at the word therefore. Many of us who are trained in theology understand that when you read in the Bible therefore, a great question to ask is what is the therefore, therefore? Peter is looking back and saying, since I've shared all this truth with you, therefore. Well, I want to start off this morning by sharing with you a piece of bridge truth that is designed to answer the question about the beginning. If you're going to share your faith, if you're going to stand on the word of God, if you're going to walk as a Christian, what makes you think that you have all the answers? I would say this to you, because we and we alone have God's truth. We have an answer for the beginning that nobody else has. I ask you to watch this video and press into its truth. That's a lot of backup for the word therefore. Therefore, because these truths are real, Peter says, I will always be ready. Always. Let me ask you, what does always mean? Look it up in the Greek. Always means always. Somebody says, well, Pastor Jeff, you're a little over the top. Is this got to be a 24/7 thing? Upon the word of God, I answer to you, yes. There is no part-time Christianity that you will find in the Bible. There are no conditional Christians. Well, when I'm in this situation, catch me on Sunday before noon. I'm right there, Pastor. Let me show you. I got the card and everything. Always. Let me ask you about the word ready. I will always be ready. What does that mean? Well, I've got an opinion. Everybody's got one of those and some other body parts that, depending on your comfort level, you can reference. Opinions are worth nothing. You're not ready. You're not ready unless you've got the word of God. Unless you have the truth that will set you free. This, my friends, coupled with our healthy, vibrant, saving relationship with Christ, this is how we're ready. We're ready not when we walk with our own opinions, not when we walk with science in our pocket, but with Savior in our heart. With His word on our lips. With His word as the authority for our lives. I would suggest to you this. You cannot be ready, let alone always, outside of a commitment to the authority of God's word, without a personal relationship where you understand Him through His revealed word. I want to ask you, in the spirit of Peter's message to those he was speaking to, what's your view of the Bible? Take a look at this.
I can't lie.
I would say to you as a pastor and as a friend, as a Christian brother, that you cannot be ready outside of your understanding and your walking in and with God's word. Peter then goes on and he says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you. Some of you would say, Pastor Jeff, you have a real gift at reminding me. And sometimes I wish you'd take your gift and go away. I want you to know that we as Christian brothers and sisters have been called to remind one another of who we are in Christ, of what it means to be a child of God, what it is to get the big idea on life right. We've made another video, and I understand some of you right now are saying, am I going to have to read all morning long? The answer is yes. And I want you to know something, that if this Sunday you have to engage a little bit more than sitting back, too bad. Step up to the plate. You're a child of God. First message we ever preached at the Bridge was entitled, It's Not About You. So that we could always come back to a place of understanding that this is about Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, and we as the created worship the Creator. And so I ask you now, what do you see when you look into your life? What is the big idea of your life? I would say to you this, that God has shown us, and Peter here is referencing when he says, therefore, you have received everything you need for life and godliness. He's reminding us of the big idea. Say, okay, Pastor Jeff, wow, that's three. How much more? Let's walk with Peter a little further. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. What things? If you were with us, you know that Peter did not simply go down a laundry list of things to check off. He answered his own question here by telling us how to live. He walked through the how of the what. And I want to say to you, if you're a part of the Bridge family, or if you're part of Christian families anywhere, that we at the Bridge have discovered what I believe to be a universal truth about what we call the life cycle, how this walk is going to be lived out. And if you are a human being, you will walk this path. The only question is, how many steps will you take? Will you walk out of darkness into light? Will you walk out of being an infant Christian to being an adolescent? Will you grow past adolescence to be wise in your walk? And will you decide to go all in and walk with Christ? When Peter says that I'm going to remind you of these things, the of these things references what it is to walk the talk, to be real deal. And if all we did was hold that banner high but not help to understand and explain what that looks like and how it's lived out, I think we would be remiss. And so about a year and a half ago, we made this video to explain the universal walk through the life cycle of life.
This must be all about. Oh, this must be what it's all about. This must be what paradise is like. It's so quiet in here, so peaceful. This must be what it's all about. Oh, this must be what it's all about. This must be what paradise is like. So quiet in here, so peaceful in here, so quiet in here, yeah, so peaceful in here. Come true. Step back, put it all away. It don't matter anymore. Oh, this must be what paradise is like. This must be what paradise is like. It's so quiet in here. It's so peaceful in here. It's so quiet in here. It's so peaceful in here. Right. this must be what it's all about. This must be what paradise is like. Oh, this must be what paradise is like. It's so quiet in here. It's so peaceful in here. It's so quiet in here. So peaceful in here. Big ships out in the night, ever floating across the waves, sailing for some other shore where we can be what we wanna be. Oh, this must be what paradise is like. Yeah, this must be what. So quiet in here, so peaceful in here, so quiet in here, peaceful in here. So quiet in here, so peaceful, so quiet in here. So quiet, it's so quiet in here. It's so peaceful.
Look out, and some of you look like you're bored out of your skull. Some of you are looking like, is this ever going to end? Fair question. I just ask that you ask it to the Lord instead of me. I ask that you lift that up to that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, my goodness, that had to be at least 5.5 minutes. I wonder how long he hung on the cross before they pulled him down. Lest I digress. Let's go back to God's word. At this point, Peter says, even though you already know them. You see, some of us today are sitting here and we're saying, Pastor Jeff, yeah. You know, I look out and you're fighting, not going to sleep. You're saying, I know this already. Yeah. Well, would it surprise you to hear that God's word says, Peter says in his last letter, going out, perhaps the most important thing he's ever going to say. He says, even though you already know and have been established in the truth, which is present in you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I know that you know. He said, but you can never have too much truth and love. We have a college baseball coach here in the church. I guarantee you that his practices in many ways will look just like what they did at peewee level. Talk to a football coach. He'll tell you it comes down to blocking and tackling. It always comes back to the fundamentals. You can never, ever have too much of the basics driven in. You say, Pastor Jeff, that's just your opinion. Peter says, even though you already know, show me a good coach and I'll show you a team that is strong in the fundamentals. They actually say it in sports oftentimes. That's a well-coached team. You know what they mean by that? They've got the fundamentals down. They have a solid foundation. What we're doing this morning, following Peter, as Peter did, is we're focusing on the foundation. Now, we've walked through it in a personal way. He says here, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth, same truth that you see in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, even though you're already established in the truth, which is present in you, I'm going to continue on because you need to remember what it is to be the church, to be the church. We've created a video that speaks to what it is to be the church so that you will understand that you not show up on Sunday as consumers, but as Christians. That we not think that this is all about us, and we don't evaluate churches based on the music, based on what programs they have for me. Imagine if people came to church and said, I'm coming here because I believe God wants to use me here. I'm seeking how God can use me as a servant. I want to be a doulos for Christ. That doesn't sell well. You don't see that on a lot of banners out in front of churches. Come ask us how you can serve. That's the message of our Bible. That's the call to Christianity, that we have been saved to serve. That if you want to be the church, I welcome you to the bridge. If you want to go to church and evaluate and see what's in it for you, we've got to do some deconstruction if you're going to walk with the King. It's all about coming to surrender and say, Lord, use me. I want to be your disciple. Show me the privilege of what it is to be an instrument in the hand of the King. Here at the bridge, you won't get a lot of cotton candy, but you will be equipped to grow in your relationship with Christ and to be the church. It looks a little bit like this. He said, Pastor Jeff, I was one of those people I already knew. Peter says we're going to cover the fundamentals and the basics anyway. This is what it is to be the church and to understand that you're not to go looking to be entertained. Not looking to go and just be able to check off that you did something. There's a transfer of responsibility and growth that's to come. He goes on and he says this. He says, I consider it right as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling. The Greek word there is tent. He's saying, as long as I'm in this tent, this temporary dwelling. He says, as long as I am in this temporary dwelling, this is going to be my cause, is to bring this truth to light. He goes on and he says, to stir you up. He says, so long as I'm here, I'm going to stir you up. Here at the Bridge, we have sensed God's call on our lives as a people to build and to bring to life the ARC, the Agape Regional Community Center. That's got a very personal call for us. And I invite you to be a part of it, to be stirred up to where we selflessly serve and pour out. I shared this with you 2.5 or 3 weeks ago. This is what it is to be the ARC. This is who we are, to be stirred up locally, personally. And I am inviting you to help us take Jesus to the streets. Take a look. Here's your invitation.
You don't know.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Last one. One more. Let's walk through the passage. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth, which is present with you, even though. By the way, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up. To stir you up. Leave me alone, Pastor Jeff. No. I have been called to stir you up. By way of reminder. What in the world is left to remind us of? You see, we started at the beginning. In the beginning, God created. This is His creation. We've walked through the Bible. We've walked through the fundamentals of the faith. We've gotten personal to the bridge. The only thing that's left is to stir up your personal heart. You. Personally. By being reminded of who you claim to be as a Christian. And how you got to receive that gift. If in fact you truly have received it. To remind you that you need to make a choice.
Tells to imitate Christ. Why do you look so much like the world? 'Cause my Jesus bled and died. He spent his time with thieves and liars. He loved the poor and the cost of the arrogant, so which one do you want to be? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do we pray to be blessed with the wealth of this land? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do we ache for another taste of this world of shifting sand? 'Cause my Jesus bled and died for my sins. He spent his time with thieves and sluts and liars. He loved the poor and the cost of the rich. So which one? Fall down and worship at His holy feet. Holy. Pretty blue eyes and curly brown hair and a clear complexion. Is how you see Him as He dies for your sins. But the Word says He was battered and scarred. Did you miss that part? Sometimes I doubt we'd read. recognize you. Cause my Jesus bled and died. He spent his time with thieves and the least of these. He loved the poor and the cost and the comfortable. So which one do you want to be? Cause my Jesus would never be accepted in my church. The blood and dirt on his feet might stain the carpet, but he reaches for the hurting and despises the bereaved. And I think he preferred Beale Street to the stained glass crowd. And I know that he can't hear me if I cry out loud. I wanna be like my Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus, yeah, yeah. I wanna be like my Jesus. Oh, 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 oh. Not a poster child for American prosperity, but like my Jesus. You see, I'm tired of living for success and popularity. I wanna be like my Jesus, but I'm not sure what that means, to be like you, Jesus. Cause you said to live like you, to love like you, but then you died for me. Can I be like you, Jesus? I wanna be like you, Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus.
No more videos. Just some choices to make. Let me close out the passage as Peter did. I'm to stir you up by way of reminder. Knowing that laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. He said this, I know I'm on my way out. My time here is going to be brief. They're going to kill me. I didn't read to you verse 15 when we started. I want to take you there now. He says, I've shared all of this with you because I know that my time is short. But with all that I am in Christ and all that you are, I want to live so that you know my heart's desire. It's to be the instrument of God that's here to help you walk with the King. To make sure that you are strong in the fundamentals. That the wolves in sheep's clothing will not sweep you away. That those who live to lower the bar of Christ will not get you to go along. But that you will walk as a true discipled warrior for Christ. One who will find a great wide entrance into the kingdom of God. He says this in verse 15 to close. And, in addition to all this, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. He says, I'm going to live my life so that after I'm gone, long after they forget my name. You see, it's not about the truth tellers, it's about the truth. He says, long after you forget about me, that you will walk with the King, that you will have these things come to mind. I will so stir you up by remembrance and reminding you that you cannot ignore Christ. You cannot simply go around and be spiritual. You cannot live in a place where you just call him God because the people that you live next to don't like it when you say Jesus. He said, I am going to so stir you up. It's my heart's desire and the power of God that you cannot treat Jesus the Christ like some God that bobbles around like a bobblehead. You will remember him, walk with him, and long after I'm gone, you will have the truth that sets you free. It's very interesting that he uses the word departure. He's talking about after he dies. He doesn't use the word that would mean end. He means the word that's going to another place. So he says, long after I leave and go to heaven, I want to make sure, whether you liked me or not, whether you thought seven videos in a service was overboard, that you would have to walk with the King. That you would have to know the truth. You would not be able to sit with a false teacher and not have the truth come back to mind. You've been equipped. You have been empowered. And in the truth of God's word, you have been readied to walk your talk. My job is to equip you, to serve you with all my heart. And I do, and I will. And if on my way home today, there's a bus with my name on it, per Peter, I have seen to it that inside of 60 minutes, you have all I have to offer. All I have left to give you is the walking with and helping along the way. And I will do it until my last breath. But you've just been to seminary. You've just walked through the Bible. You have everything you need for life and godliness. Next week, we will make a video, a DVD of today's service available. You will always have all the truth that you need to walk with the King. Listen, God gave us a verse to encapsulate our time together this morning. This was a true gift from God. Isaiah 43:10. And God's word says this, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. I've chosen you so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. You now know the truth that will set you free. If you are free, share it, that others will know what it is to walk in truth and love as children of God. Would you please pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the privilege that it is to be those that you have chosen and empowered with grace. Thank you for giving us the want to repent. Thank you for giving us the desire to be your child, to accept the adoption, to receive the gift of grace. And Lord, if there are any here today who do not know what it is to be an adopted child of God, if there are any that are flirting with you, dating you, considering marriage, I pray that today is the day that you knocked on the door of their heart. Don't let any leave here today, I pray, Lord, destined for eternity separated from you. And Lord, if there are any here that have put on the lipstick of religion, but hold to a faith that is empty, I pray that today you strip away the surface and you get down into the soul. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will punctuate each person here today who is playing church or is satisfied with empty religion, that there will be those that will hear your voice saying, I am here. Receive me today. You know better. from now on. Lord, I thank you that you have stripped away any and all excuses from those that have been here or are within the sound of my voice. And at the same time, I plead, Lord, let those that know receive. Let them lay down self. Let them ask that you become their Lord and their Savior. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where are the Christians? Where are the Christ-like? Church way. Boys play. Share the full gospel. Will we give it all straight? This world uses lit. How long will it burn? Creeping up at every turn.
Where are the Christians? Where are the Christ-like?
Where are his children? I will pray day and night.
Where are
heal our churches, to wake up the dead, and empty our hearses, for us to see, before we sound the alarm, till we stop playing church. It's a call to arms.
Where are the Christians? Where are the Christ-like? It's cross carriers and jackals. Where are the Christians?
Reason to worry, see the wolves to the sheep. Don't listen to zealots, drift back to sleep. Wolves are supported by the lazy and shallow. One telling others, the gate's not that narrow.
Where are the Christians? Where are the Christ-like?
All the surrenders
make this world right. Where
church sin, religion.
bondage and she kills like cancer within. No more empty religion. Hypocrisy must go. Face to face, Lord. Excuses come from below. Christians, where are the Christ-like?